Do you scratch your head when you are asked about optimizing Amazon? Are you ready to get your feet wet on the Amazon platform? Today's episode shares the most important things you need to know about Amazon as a beginning writer. Stick around. Your best writing life begins in 30 seconds.
Do you want to go deeper in your faith even while you're on the go? No matter how busy the season you're in, Access More has a library of faith-based podcasts to help you grow spiritually. With podcasts from Christian thought leaders such as Christine Kane, Lisa Harper, Taryn Wells, and Bob Goff, you can hear podcasts on religion, culture, family, entertainment, and so much more. Access More gives you a safe space to find inspiring conversations about faith. Start listening today at accessmore.com.
Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. Each week, I bring you tips and strategies from experts in the writing and publishing industry to help you excel in your craft. I'm so very glad that you're listening in today. During this episode, you'll learn about Amazon strategies for beginner writers. My industry expert is Vincent B. Davis II. Vincent is an author, entrepreneur, and veteran. He is a graduate of East Tennessee State University and has served in the United States Army since 2014. He's the author of 8 books, 4 of which have become international bestsellers. When he's not researching or writing his next book, you can find him watching Carolina Panthers football or playing with his rescued mutt, Buddy. Vincent, welcome to Your Best Writing Life.
Thank you, Linda. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is a great opportunity for all of our listeners today, Vincent. We want to take advantage of what is in the marketplace to help move our kingdom-driven projects along. And we want to be able to gain a little bit of income from it. And the best resource right now is optimizing Amazon. And we have some beginner writers who listen to Your Best Writing Life. And for you to be able to come on and give us some tips, some strategies that they can use as they're starting out, this is fabulous. So today we're looking at the Amazon strategies for beginner writers. And you are going to be coming back and doing Amazon strategies for advanced writers. We want everyone to be aware of that as well. Vincent, with all the different places to sell books, why have you decided to focus exclusively on Amazon?
So that's a great question. Obviously, you know, Amazon is a really, really large marketplace. We know that. And the latest data that I have says that roughly 75% of the ebook market is on Amazon, and over 50% of the paperback market as well. So if you are walking around and happen to see a paperback that was purchased in 2022 or 2023, 50% chance that it was purchased on Amazon. So, and those numbers, you know, they indicate that they're, you know, there's a lot of other places that the books are being sold. But to really succeed on any of those other retail platforms, Barnes and Noble, Nook, Apple Books, Kobo, so on and so forth, you really have to have a dedicated retail strategy, a marketing strategy for each of those channels. And that can be really difficult, right? Because there's so many different places to sell books. And, you know, having a strategy for each one of them can be really hard for us to achieve. So instead, you know, I've decided to focus on Amazon by being exclusive in my distribution of the ebook. You know, the paperback I still have everywhere, but the ebook I have exclusive with Amazon. And that gives me access to a lot of additional marketing tools that have made a really big difference over the course of my career. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go about the publishing world and selling books, but that's been one of the things that has been enormously helpful for me.
And I do like that you mention ebooks. I tell you, electronic books, everyone is using them. Everyone has a tablet. They all have Kindle. And we travel more. Our traveling is kind of picking back up again. We're not hauling a lot of paperback books with us. We're taking them on the tablet, on the computer, and utilizing space that way to the best of our ability. So I encourage those of you that are beginner writers, when you consider publication, be sure that you include an ebook in your package, because we have more and more individuals that are utilizing the ebooks. And I know that that is a favorite place for Vincent. Man, I will tell you, he is a guru of what you can do with ebooks. It's fabulous. What are the most important things that we need to know about Amazon marketing?
Well, I think that the most important thing to focus on early is understanding Amazon and the goals that Amazon has. Okay, so they really only have two goals, and that is to sell books and make money. Okay, so once we understand that, I think it's a lot easier to get a grasp of how the algorithms work. Anytime that someone is searching on Amazon, Amazon will show them the products that is most likely to sell to that particular customer. There's obviously all kinds of concerns about Amazon playing favorites or them disliking certain genres or topics. In my experience, I have not seen any kind of bias or censorship on Amazon. Not saying it doesn't exist, but it's very, very rare. It's not something I've ever come across. What Amazon is most concerned with is a book's ability to sell to whatever individual reader is there at the time shopping. So once we understand that, then we have a clear course of action. Two steps, really. So the first one is we need to help Amazon understand who our proper readers are. So who the individuals are. And then two, convince Amazon that if they show our book to that individual, that it will sell and make Amazon money.
Ooh, that's really good. So are you going to be helping us to understand some of that today?
Definitely. Yeah. Because I mean, obviously there's a long process and okay, how do we convince Amazon of who the readers are, right? That sounds pretty simple, right? We should be able to just kind of pick our categories and then Amazon just kind of intuitively knows, but it's much more of a process than that. So we'll cover as much of that in today's episode as we can, but then also in the advanced class, we will also touch on that quite a bit more.
Oh, perfect. Now, are there any major milestones that authors should try to hit after launching a book on Amazon? We could hear a lot from all different people, but you're the one that we want to get the nitty gritty from. What milestones are we looking at?
There are some milestones, but they're not necessarily hard and fast numbers in my opinion. The one that you hear the most, I hear it every time I go to a conference or I'm, you know, speaking with other authors, I often hear 50 reviews. And it's kind of given as like a magic number of once you hit 50 reviews, you're kind of added to the elite club and you know, you kind of get preferential treatment and you show up higher in results and all that kind of thing. And I can say both from my own experience, my own research, and, you know, all of the experts in the industry that I continue to learn from, there's no empirical evidence that that's the case. This isn't to say that reviews aren't important, you know, because they definitely are, but it can be a little misleading, I think, to focus on we've got to hit 50 and then it's over. We're good to go once we hit that rank. And in my estimation, always more is better, right? More reviews, because every shopper is going to have a different threshold for how many reviews that they need to see to take a book seriously. You know, some people, if they can see 10 reviews that are of a strong caliber, then that's enough for them. Or if somebody else tends to read, you know, really, really popular best-selling authors, and that's what their experience is typically like, then they might want to see hundreds or thousands even, you know. So each and every shopper is going to have a different threshold. And it's just the more that we have is always better. So if you're not at that 50 mark, that's okay. It's a great goal to hit. But once you hit 50, just keep going. The early milestone that I'm really aiming for is actually 20, which of course, again, that's not a magic number. Nothing special happens when you hit 20 reviews. But I think that that's about the point when a book becomes legitimized to the majority of shoppers. And then from there, it's just more is always better. Other than that, I think that there is one number that actually is pretty important, and that's 50 sales. So your first 50 sales are incredibly important to the book's long-term success. And it's mainly because once we hit that 50 sales and we're close to that 50 number, or a little bit over it, we're going to be included in the also bought system. Which is a huge driver for the Amazon algorithm. So, you know, I know that a lot of folks that shop on Amazon, they'll have noticed you go to a product page on Amazon, whether it's a book or something else, and oftentimes there's a row of products just beneath the cover and the description and all that that says customers who bought this item also bought.
Yes.
And the important thing is not that you have that row on your book or that you're showing up on others, although that's really nice. It's what it says about a book. And once we've had that 50 sales, you're included in that also bought system where Amazon is essentially looking at all of the purchase history of the 50 people or more or however many that have purchased your book. Amazon is analyzing all of the shopping history and purchase history of those individual accounts, and they're trying to notice some kind of common thread. So like I mentioned, our job is to convince Amazon who our readers are, and that's the number one way. So there's all kinds of ways that we can add our book to the proper categories and use the right keywords and things like that. But Amazon is always going to be looking at their own data more than anything else in determining, you know, who to show a book to. So those first 50 sales are very important because you're not included in that also bought system until you hit that number from what we can tell. And another thing that kind of goes along with that is those first 50 sales, if you can sell to the right people, the people that, you know, typically read in your genre, all the better. And I know that can be really difficult to accomplish, you know, especially for newer authors that don't have kind of a built up following. And so when they're initially launching, they're going to be mentioning it to friends and family and whoever else they can get in touch with, whoever their circle of influence is. But remember that Amazon is looking at all of their purchase history. So if you're writing a Christian living book on prayer and all your early sales are going to people and your friends and family, and let's say you have a lot of friends and family that love Harry Potter, then Amazon might get a little confused about who the book is for. I'm not saying to avoid, you know, selling to anyone that you can. But there's been so much focus over the past several years, and I hear about it at conferences all the time, of like, you have to launch strong, you have to sell as many copies as possible on day one. So you just tell anyone and everyone to go buy the book. And then I hear it all the time. I had a great launch, I hit bestsellers list, and then after that, nothing. It just fell flat on its face. And I think that that is a large part of what's happening, is that, yes, we sold books. We may have even hit bestsellers lists or, you know, done really well over the first week or so. But if Amazon is not noticing some kind of trend about who the book is for and who they should continue showing it to moving forward, then it's going to fall into what I call the Amazon black hole, you know, where it's basically just completely undiscoverable except to people that are typing in your name and your, you know, the book title. So first 50 sales, very important. And when possible, selling to people that typically read in your genre, very, very important and helpful for the long-term growth of a book, even if you have to launch just a little bit slower than you would otherwise.
Okay. And is there a help to know where to find the people, especially for our beginner? You know, well, we do have to know. You're writing a book. Who's the audience? And I can think of, off the top of my head, ways to engage with that audience would be utilize groups on Facebook, blogs.
Absolutely.
Have your information out there. Write on what it is your book is on before your book comes out and get people hungry for it. Those are a few things that I can think of off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, you can't wait for the launch and then go, oh, by the way, I need to find people who are going to read this book. There's some due diligence, and that goes along with the book launching. We're not discussing that today, but the information you've given us so far, this is really good to know, because brand new stuff for many of us. Did not know what the 50 sales meant and selling to the right people. So this is very, very good. Well, then how do authors engage with the algorithms, to the Amazon algorithms, to get their books selling?
Yeah, absolutely. So remember our two goals from before. So we need to convince Amazon of who our readers are, and then we have to convince them that if they show the book to the right people, it will sell. Obviously, we can accomplish that through a variety of ways. But like I said, the most important one is who is actually buying the book. Once we're having sales to the right people, and you're absolutely right that the hardest time to do that is when we're first starting out, right? Because we may not have a big email list that's built up of readers who are reading in our genre, or a big Facebook following. We have a, you know, some kind of social media presence, but it's mostly friends, family, so on and so forth. So I can certainly say I launched my first book in 2017, and I did not have a base of readers to reach out to that were all historical fiction fans, you know, which is my genre. to reach out to. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be done right at the beginning. You can, there's always ways to make things work. And we'll talk about some other strategies as well on that. But I do think that your suggestion for Facebook groups, because you can find them that are, you know, dedicated readers of your genre, as long as it's compliant to mention your own works within that group. And,
right.
you know, there's, you could potentially use Goodreads, so on and so forth. But so after we've done that, then really Amazon is all about consistency and volume. And we often think, I think it's kind of our go-to is always about creating spikes in sales, right? You know, so we'll try to have as many sales as we can on the launch day or on one particular day. And if you want to hit the best sellers list, that's 100% the way to do it, because the best sellers list, it updates every 4 hours. It's very responsive to spikes. So even if your book hasn't been selling well, if you jump in, you sell a lot of copies all at once, then suddenly you can be higher in that bestseller list than you would be before. That being said, the bestsellers list, I'm not undermining that it is important and it can be used with a lot of utility to create further sales, but the algorithms themselves, what's functioning behind the scenes, a lot of the experts refer to it as the popularity list, which is a little bit like a bestsellers list, but there's no, you know, rank 1 to 100, those kinds of things. It's just, you can do better or worse in the popularity list than the other books. And it's not something that, you know, consumers are finding. They're not shopping for their next book on the popularity list, but it's something that is just engaging behind the scenes, and it's factoring in how popular your book is versus another book that, you know, it's similar in content, ranking, so on and so forth. The popularity list is all about consistency. Unlike the bestseller list, which is about spikes and big volume on one particular day, popularity list updates. It's a 30-day rolling average, and it updates every 4 days. So it's all about consistency. So with any book on Amazon, the biggest thing to note in terms of engaging with the algorithms, we start off by convincing Amazon of who the right readers are, selling to the right people. But then after that, it's just selling with consistent volume. And then every sale will boost us in the rankings and give us more additional visibility, you know, showing up higher in search results. You're more likely to be included in recommendation emails, which Amazon is sending out quite often to, especially to Kindle readers, but just in general. So sales beget sales. One of the guerrilla marketing tips that we have is when sales are really, really low, when things are just going slow in general, one of the best ways to put some wind into the sales is to give away the ebook, right? Because there's no cost to do so. Give away the ebook for free or mark it down to 99 cents. And then we're trying to have as much volume as we can within a 5 to 7 day period. So it's not exactly one big spike, but it's still creating a lot of activity around a concentrated period of time that we're forcing Amazon to pay attention. And they kind of making them scratch their chin and say, huh, okay, well, if the book is doing this well while it's free or 99 cents, obviously there's an interest in it. Why don't we show it to more people when it is full price? And we will make, you know, additional return. And a lot of times when you do that, if you have a substantial enough volume during that time frame, you can actually ride the wave for a few months after you have a promotion like that.
No, that's really good. Now, placing our ebook for free, how do we do that if we have a traditional publisher?
Well, that's a great question. And so some tools are not necessarily available to all authors. I've worked with a lot of both traditional publishing houses and authors that have been published traditionally. Of course, something like that, they are not going to have direct control over. It doesn't mean it's not something you can do. It's quite possible that communicating with whoever it is, your point of contact with the publisher, maybe it's a conversation you have with the agent, or if you have a dedicated marketing person there at the publisher. I've seen it time and time again. A lot of publishers are absolutely willing to run one of these discounts, you know, if it will benefit the book and it's something that the author is wanting to do and they're willing to take the initiative to strategize around it and do some marketing around the promotion, so on and so forth. So depending on the distribution method of the ebook, they may or may not even have the capacity to run free deals, but they should at least have the option to do a 99 cent deal if it's something that they're willing to do. And of course, not all publishers will. Some publishers may just have kind of a policy against doing something like that, but it never hurts to ask.
Right. I have a book co-authored with Linda Gilden, and it's the Linked Personality book for couples.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect for around Valentine's Day, working around relationships. And if I planned an event and I just wanted to really, we're going to do a Facebook Live, we're going to do this, we're going to do a Zoom, we're going to do all of this. And oh, by the way, here is this available. And if I take something to my publisher and say, this is what I'm creating, can you please take it down to 99 cents so that we can have that available out there? That I see that as being a viable approach to the traditional house, to say, we're working at this. We're not just saying, put it on for nothing or 99 cents and we're not helping you out or helping us out in the background. So I could see how this would be a great advantage, incentive, as long as we follow up with it, as long as we're active in it, I think is key here. Very good. Anything else in this with the engaging with the algorithms?
Obviously, there's a lot of things that can go into it and things that we can kind of generate some activity when we're not seeing a whole lot. But yeah, we'll touch on that, especially in the next class.
In the next one. Okay. Now, what types of books typically succeed on Amazon, and especially with the kind of marketing tactics that you utilize? Share with us a little bit of what those tactics are and the books that you see successful.
I will say first and foremost that any book can thrive on Amazon utilizing these tactics. Any product, I imagine it would be the same for anything. It's just how we can get the algorithms working in our favor, and they operate behind the scenes. And in my experience, they don't play favorites. You know, they are simply designed to show the product that is most likely to sell to the customer. It creates the best consumer experience, and it's most likely to earn revenue for Amazon and for us by proxy. So it is important to remember that it's easier to break into more niche genres, so that the more niche your topic is, it's easier to break into that. But the ceiling is a little bit lower. You know, if you write a book that is geared towards specific career field or, you know, just a really specific genre, the potential for what you can achieve with that one book can be difficult. But I've seen it happen quite a bit, and you can have a lot of success that way. And especially if you do have a more niche genre like that, maybe you won't hit the same level of sales as somebody who writes in romance. But especially if you kind of have a diversification of offerings, so you have a book about pastoral leadership, let's say, right? There's a definite market for that. It's not as general market. It's not as large as romance or thriller or general self-help or whatever. However, if you offer speaking or an online course, or you have a podcast or something along those lines that you can also offer in addition to your book, then you can even use really, really niche genres to do some pretty incredible things. On the other hand, more mainstream genres are harder to break into, right? Of course, they're very competitive, but the potential for growth is, you know, it's really unlimited. Certain aspects of marketing and the type of marketing I do on Amazon work better for certain genres, like especially the free promotion and the 99 cent promotion, because it's kind of a shotgun approach. It's like, let's discount the price, let's announce it as wide and far as we can. The more niche it is, typically the less impact that it will have. But especially for books that are kind of for a general audience, those kind of things can be huge. The good news, though, I would say, and this is the big question I get asked a lot, is like, does this have to be for a new book? Like, I published this book 6 months ago, or I published it 2 or 3 years ago. Is it dead in the water? Should I leave it and move on? So on and so forth. And I can say with certainty that this absolutely works for older books, for any of the backlist. And at least the most recent data that I have, I think it's from 2021, it might be 2022, but backlist is continuing to dominate sales more and more and more every year. Whereas, you know, new releases for so long, I guess because it was more focused on like the retail channels, brick and mortar, new releases dominated such a large part of the marketplace. That's not really the case online, because every book is brand new to the person who's never seen it before.
That's right.
No matter how long ago it came out. This can absolutely work for older books. My goal is that no matter how old a book that I have or one of the authors I work with has, we can absolutely take advantage of these opportunities and work with the algorithms to get the book showing up again and get it relevant. And Amazon does give a book about a honeymoon period right after a book launch, 3 months where there's some favoritism going on in the algorithms. New releases are shown a little bit more, so on and so forth. But I think there is a little bit too much importance placed on that. And I see authors say that all the time, you know, didn't have the launch they wanted, or they had a great launch and then things fell off afterwards. And then they kind of think that, you know, it's kind of dead in the water. Let's move on. Let's focus on the next one or whatever. But you can tackle these things one step at a time and you can completely revitalize your sales. There's always hope for a book. And I encourage authors, if you believe in the project and you believe in its ability to help people or to sell in the future, if it's in front of the right people, then I always encourage them to just keep on trying.
Absolutely. This is something that is, it's one of your babies. Keep trying.
Right.
They may get older, but they may get better too. That's why I really like the evergreen type books. And especially with eBooks, you can make changes in eBooks, print on demand. You can make changes. You can update and kind of give it a fresh look as well, as long as you're not doing too much to change the ISBN. But there's things that we can do to revitalize. And I appreciate that you said that. And also, we get that visual of walking into a brick and mortar and we pay attention to the books that are facing out, because that's the ones that they say, oh, these are the best. So they're facing out. But on Amazon, they're all facing out. It's
right.
You ask
exactly
which one is what, and you're going to find it. And so we have to be creative in the, I think we have to be creative in our Author Central. We have to be creative in all aspects of Amazon to say to people, hello, this store is open too. And this is what we have, and it's great for you, great value, and we're here. We have to be able to engage that way. Now, you've mentioned a couple times, Vincent, that you work with authors, you have your clients. I know that you're an Amazon marketing coach, and you also do Amazon marketing manager services. Tell us about that so our listeners understand a little more of that portion of your background.
So since I got into the industry in 2017, I've been working with a lot of publishers and individual authors to do all the things that we're talking about. Like you said, I do. I love the coaching. I love kind of teaching the process of how to do these things and walking step by step with authors to accomplish all these things. But I also understand that there's a lot of things to focus on in the industry that can be quite distracting. We only have so much time. So a lot of authors decide to just hire me to do the work for them. I go in and I manage books just as if they were my own. So I do quite a bit of both of those things. And I wanted to mention too that I would be happy to, for anybody that would like to reach out and they're interested in working with me, either as a coach or from a managed service, mention the podcast and I'd be happy to offer $100 off to work with me.
Oh, well, that's fabulous. All right. You mentioned
Absolutely.
Your best writing life and you get $100 off. And the reason that it's important for you to mention your best writing life, Vincent then knows where people are being active. He's talking to a lot of people a lot of times. I would highly recommend this. I would highly. Now, do you do a free Do We Fit type of, can they reach out to you and see if you're a good fit?
Absolutely. That's always how I, you know, because there's obviously it's a complex industry. And so it's not always the right fit. Sometimes depending on the publishing method or the retail, you know, the distribution and all that, like sometimes it's not the right fit. I can usually offer some guidance or value. But so, yeah, we definitely I always start with a free 30-minute call to just get a handle on what the author's platform is like, what their books are, and if
Perfect.
It would be a good fit. And I always give my honest take on that.
Perfect. And we have all of the links that you're going to want, of course, are in the show notes. Vincent at warriorbookmarketing.com. And you can say in the subject line, your best writing life, coaching strategies or coaching. Want you as a coach. I'd like to meet with you as a coach. So this is very good. What are we going to be giving our listeners today?
Yeah. So I wrote down all of the questions that we were going to go through today. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make that into a PDF and share that. So it'll go over everything we've talked about on today's episode. And then also just get a little bit more in depth in certain areas. So it'd be a great refresher for anyone that's listened, and then also they can kind of hang on to it and refer back to it as they're going through the publishing and marketing journey.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. All right. Now we get to a fun part for me, because you're a first time guest here on Your Best Writing Life. And I always love to offer our listeners a little peek behind the personal curtain of our guests. So what can you share with us that maybe they're not going to read in your bio about you?
Yeah, this is something that I don't think many people know. Some of those closest with me disagree, and they don't think I'm quite as fantastic as I think I am. But I think that I am phenomenal at impressions. I think I'm a great impressionist, I think is the right term.
Well, yay.
Yeah, my Smeagol from Lord of the Rings is probably my most impressive. That's the one I'm most proud of.
Okay, well then impress us with your impression of Smeagol.
Okay, all right, be gentle, okay? You ready? I've not done this in a long time, but let's see.
That's all right.
The nasty fat hobbitses, they stole it from us. Cut him, cut him.
That was great.
Pretty good. Okay.
That all was right. Really right. Good. Oh, yeah, I love it. Yep.
I've watched The Lord of the Rings enough that I should be able to imitate anyone perfectly from that. But my Smeagol is on point. I think I need to work on the rest.
No, Smeagol is great. And I can visualize him saying it right where he's at, because we binge at least once a year all of the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit and all of that. So yep, love it. Oh, that's very good, Vincent. That's
all right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I needed the boost.
Yeah, you make me smile.
I've got a lot of people that have been hearing it quite a bit over the years, and they don't find it nearly as intriguing anymore. But I'll remind them. I'll let them know that the podcast thinks that it's great.
Yeah, and so yeah. I'm gonna do it even more often. No, he's got it. Thumbs up here.
Right.
Well, thank you so very much for being on with us. And again, folks, Vincent is going to be coming back on, and he's going to be offering the Amazon strategies for advanced writers. So you're going to want to make sure you key into that as well. And the way to do that is make sure that you have subscribed to Your Best Writing Life, and you won't miss any episode. Vincent, thank you so very, very much for being here. Can't wait to have you back on again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And to anybody listening, best of luck in all of your marketing endeavors. And please feel free to reach out, even if you're not intending to hire me or anything like that. If you have a question or anything you'd like to discuss, I'd be happy to help if I'm able.
That's what I say about everyone who comes on Your Best Writing Life. We are givers. We want you to succeed.
Mm.
If you're writing for the kingdom, if you are writing and this is your area, we want you to succeed. And all of our guests have that attitude. I love it. God is so good. Thank you for that, Vincent. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me on, Linda.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, friends, for joining us. Please take a moment to share this podcast with another writer or two, or as I say, 12. Make it a baker's dozen. Share it with 13. Give us a star rating. Post an episode review. Would love to hear your thoughts on this particular episode. And hit subscribe or follow, whatever your podcasting platform allows you to do. I greatly appreciate what you have to say about this program as much as what you choose to write for the kingdom. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on Your Best Writing Life.